This is the final segment of the JX Today, and it's about rocks. We don't often think about rocks until we want to climb them, throw them, skip them, or buy them. Joining me to talk about rocks, gems, minerals, and why we're fascinated with them is Jim Bosley, who sits on the board of the Crater Rock Museum, and Jillian Ketley, the museum curator. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Jim, did I get your last name right? Is it
you
Bosley?
Okay. It's Bosley, yes.
Okay, well, let's start with you, Jillian. My boys are 11 and 13 years old and absolutely love the Crater Rock Museum.
So I am so glad to hear it.
Tell us about it, and what do you do there?
So we are a 9,000-square-foot facility just across the street from Scenic Middle School in Central Point, and we house one of the best minerals and geological specimen collections in the country. If it's not top five, it is top 10, and it's right here in Jackson County. And I serve as the curator, which for an organization this small means I wear a lot of hats, but generally it means I'm in charge of exhibits, displays, educational programs, as well as caretaking the collection.
Well, forgive my ignorance, but you're the first rock curator I've ever met. So what's your background and how'd you get into rocks?
So my background, it serves more towards the museum's natural history side. But so every time I come into work, I am learning something new. I've got a general earth sciences understanding. My undergraduate is in archaeology from Brigham Young University over in Utah, and my master's is from Western Illinois in museums. So I got out of archaeology or away from it because I figured there was no reason digging the stuff up if nobody was ever going to see it again. So I went back to school and said, I really want to present this and make these wonderful treasures accessible to people. Not only what humans deal with or what humans have touched and changed, which is the definition of an artifact, but what the world has to offer. So the education side has really been my passion since then. And Crater Rock has been an amazing experience just to interface with the public and to learn more.
Well, it certainly had an impression on my kids. Jim is a board member. What's the vision for the museum in the future, and how do you grow a rock museum?
I think our vision for the future is to continually keep improving our displays. But Roxian Gem and Mineral Society, which owns the museum, also has other opportunities for people that are interested in rocks and gems. And those are through our membership, where we go on field trips. We have talks about gems and minerals. And also through our lapidary shop, where you can come in and learn how to cut rock and then how to shape and polish it. And so those are things that that we provide to the community. And we'd like to see more people come and take available of those.
Well, give us a little bit of the backstory. Who woke up one day and said, you know what, I'll put a rock museum in Central Point. That'll put it on the map.
Well, it didn't quite start like that.
Okay.
So our founding family is Delmar and Frieda Smith of what was Medford and is now Central Point since the boundary changed. Wonderful couple, got married in the 30s and moved here and started. He started as an apiarist, so he raised bees, which got him in touch with the local agriculture community. So he was very interested in pollinators and their absolute necessity in the farming community here. So he was raising bees and educating the local farming community about that. It got him out wandering into the hills and going up and over, and he was seeing all these beautiful specimens that just pop out of the ground here. If you haven't been on a walk recently, you can't walk for tripping over agates and petrified wood and jasper and artifacts from the native peoples that lived in the Rogue Valley. So that getting out into the community really spawned a love of the natural world, but a focus on the Rogue Valley. So he started collecting as he was out wandering around. And bless his wife, she said, "Delmar, I love you. You've got too much stuff. Get it out of my house." I think we can all relate to that a bit. And separated another building, and he began to show off his collection and sell his honey out of a building on their property, and grabbed a couple of friends, founded the club and then the museum, 1954. And we've grown from there. We're now 70 years old. The museum's seen 3 major expansions since then. But it starts with getting out and being curious. That's how it always, that's how I think it will always start for all of us. I'll say you've got young kids. I've got an almost five-year-old. She picks up rocks every single time we go outside and shows me and say, "How cool is this?" We never lose that.
That's true. My house is filled with crystals.
We just turned it into a livelihood.
Yes, absolutely. I'm talking with Jim Bosley and Jillian Ketley of the Crater Rock Museum. So my boys are filling my house up with these little crystals they find everywhere. Can you tell us about the experience of visiting the museum? What's it like for youth and adults?
I can tell you, growing up, going to museums all over the country and all over the world, I've been very blessed to do that. I was stunned at what was here. I wasn't expecting what I did when I walked through the door. The first thing you'll do is you'll see this gift shop. It's massive and expansive. It doesn't have just gems and minerals. We've got a whole broad form of jewelry and trinkets from the crystals and kind of new age and spiritual side of things. We try to cater to everybody in that. But going, demarcating through the carpet, you go down this hallway and it is a brand newly furbished hallway now hung with Native American textiles from the Southwest, which feels like a really weird experience to have that be your first implementation into a rock museum. But it makes sense when you think of that everything in those symbols in the textiles relates back to the earth and those people's connections with it. So it's actually a grounding way to introduce the museum. But walking through those displays, you are simply, I couldn't get my jaw off the floor the first time I walked through. And every single time, I've now been here for almost 9 months, and I find something new to remind me how blessed we are to be in a geologically diverse region, as well as the absolute joy and diversity it is to live in a place, in a state, in a world that has so much beauty to offer.
Jim, I imagine that there's a lot of networks and relationships with the tribes and with the universities and with the schools. Can you talk more about that?
That's a good question. I'm relatively new, so I'm not quite sure. But I know that with the tribe, Jillian worked with them to go through our Indian displays to be sure that they met the current standards. We do some work with Southern Oregon University, and those are the only ones that I'm aware of. Maybe Jillian has more on that.
I'm happy to speak on that. So we do active education programs out into the local schools. We also have field trips that come through nearly every day during the school year. It's very, very cost-effective. It's far below Title I prices for schools to come in and bring students. So we have guided tours available. We have sluice bags available, so you can go out while the weather is good. We operate a sluice where you can basically pan your own bags. So gems and minerals, things like shark teeth, pyrite. I'll say there's a surprise in everything, but they're basically add-ons to the field trip. But I go out and do educational programs within the community. So we serve not only the Medford area. I've gone up to Grants Pass. We go down to Ashland every so often. It just depends on the need. As to the tribal aspect of it, my employment here was specifically predicated on or focused on redesigning the front, our entrance gallery, remaking it into what was an artifact room. It was taken down for several years while an outer space display was on. So meteorites and lunar geology and exploration. It was a really cool display, but they took it down because the museum went through a compliance stage. The current laws under NAGPRA, which was passed in the 90s, talk about how what artifacts are being allowed to be held under nonprofit control and how they should be displayed, if they should go back. There are lots of considerations. So half of the hallway or half of that exhibit is dedicated to just talking about our responsibility and local collecting and showcasing the history of the Rogue Valley. The other half is dedicated for a space to four of the nine recognized tribes of Oregon. And two of those were the ones that were specifically where the peoples of this area were displaced to after the Rogue River Wars, when they were forced off their land and made to move to two reservations on the coast. So we host a space for the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde and Siletz, as well as cases for Cow Creek Band of Umpqua and the Klamath Modoc-Yahooskan band or tribe, forgive me. And all of those displays are either our artifacts supporting or loaned artifacts from the tribes, and all the information comes from the tribes themselves. So it's not us telling the visitors their history. It is the people who live that history saying what should be said about themselves.
Excellent.
And it's been a really cool experience to work with those liaisons from each of the tribes.
So there's a level of cultural awareness and connectivity that's part of the experience.
Very much so. It'll never be as meaningful coming from us who try to be as factual and try to be as, you know, presentary or as sensitive to it. It should come from the people who live and breathe that every day.
Excellent. Well, one of the things that brought this to mind recently for me is my nephew just got engaged and he went out.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And he went out and bought his fiance a rock, of course. So
sure.
What is the difference? What's the connection between rocks and stones and gems and jewelry and precious gems? How's that all work? How do you tease that out?
That's a good question. So the definition, I believe, of a gemstone is literally a rock that somebody gives meaning to and deems precious. There isn't a, it's not a phonetic or a scientific definition or distinction between it. Faceted just means it's cut and polished, has multiple sides. When you talk about a mineral versus a rock, a mineral is something that makes up our world. So oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, those extra things that you stick in your vitamins, that's going to be a mineral. And a rock is simply a mineral rock is two or more minerals shoved together. That's your basic definition of a rock.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Tell us where we can get into the museum, what hours, what do we need to do?
Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5. Last entry to the museum is at 4. Every second Saturday is our kids' day. We have special programming typically, but there's always scavenger hunts, and you can pick from the treasure chest, but everyone 17 under is always free.
Okay, I love that we have such a precious place in our region. Jim and Jillian, thanks for joining me. That's all we have today for the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us.